This is Talk Nerdy to Me. I am your host, Troy Stegner, and I have a real special treat for you guys. This guy has won more karate awards than I have time to tell you about. He knows more martial arts styles than I can pronounce. You probably know him as Tommy Oliver from Power Rangers. All the way from Angel Grove, we have Jason David Frank on the line. How you doing, Jason?
I'm doing good. Thanks for that intro. I appreciate it. Doing good. Glad to be on your show, and I'm glad that you're sharing it with all your fans out there. So appreciate you guys listening to it if you're listening to it right now. And if you're not, then you won't hear this message.
Then they're missing out.
That's right. They're missing out.
Let's go back to the beginning. How did you get into martial arts?
That was the age of four. I just was walking by a karate school, saw an older lady do it. At that time, she was probably over 30, but she's a young lady now. But just thought, something that I wanted to do, and just fell in love with it. And I stayed in it. I just posted something today on my Instagram where I said, martial arts is not just the way of life. It is my life. Something I did my whole entire life. Martial arts gave me the work ethic. It gave me the dedication. It gave me everything I need to survive in life right now, because life is a battle and it is a war, and it's continuously, you have to fight through it, but you got to have the dedication and motivation for everything. And that's what it's given me. So I'm pretty blessed I was in it, but just started at the age of four and, just got promoted to A3 black belt last year. And so I'm looking forward. Well, it's going to take about 9 years for ninth. So I'm not looking forward to that because I'll be super old, but looking forward to continue sharing the knowledge with all my students.
What was the first style you chose to study?
Well, it was American style. So at that point, I didn't know exactly what I was doing as a kid, but then I learned everything. I mean, we did, judo, we did, Shotokan, and we did the kicks of Taekwondo, and we did weapons and samurai swords. So we blended it. It was a blend of tons of styles mixed together as one. When I was a kid, I started competing with other kids or started talking like, I'm a black belt. I'm like, oh, cool. Show me this, or, show me the commas. And they're like, we don't learn that stuff. I'm like, what do you guys learn? They're like, we don't learn weapons, or, we have like 6, 7, 8 different katas. And I was like, dang, I had 52 katas, and like 12, 13 weapon katas I had to perform for my black belt. So then I started realizing it's a pretty good style. And the Red Dragon Karate at that time, Chris Casamassa was my instructor. He played Scorpion in the Mortal Kombat movie, and it was, great school, just a lot of Hollywood talent, but also a lot of great fighters, demo teams. We had it all. So that was the first kind of style I came across, was American style, and then just switched to a lot of different stuff, practical wrestling, jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai. So I just trained a lot of different things for, I guess, the full contact fighting. Even though we did that back in the days, it was pretty hardcore, but I was blessed to learn everything. So I would say that the main style is, American style, which is, a combination of basically everything.
So how is it you came about to audition for Power Rangers?
Persistence. I was persistent. It was persistent. It was dedication. I had long hair, had a ponytail, went to an agency. I said, hey, it's something I want to do, acting. And they said, you need to cut your hair and, look like an everyday kid. And, I did. Went back and they said, sorry, we can't represent you. And I was like, I cut my hair and, you said you guys are going to represent me. We don't have time. I said, well, I'm not leaving until something happens. So they gave me a script, Phantoms, that was, that was basically Power Rangers. So it was auditioned for it, got the role, and, they wanted to represent me, and I gave them a chance, and they kind of, screwed me over again. So that was it. I was a guy that was dealing with my own stuff. They took me to court for whatever. I beat it. I was my own lawyer at that time. And it was just a simple case. I never signed a contract. Y'all didn't want me. And now that I have the show, you guys want me, and it was one of those things that usually happens in life. It's even happened in Comic-Con career. 7 years ago, I was the first Ranger. It's Johnny Young Bosch. Let me give him that. He was the guy doing this before anybody. So I stepped out there 7 years ago, started doing cons, had trouble booking any show. And I said, I'm not here for the money. I just want to share this life with fans. Lexington, Jared, called me, and I was like, I have no clue what this is, man. He's called my dojo and I'm teaching. And I'm like, I don't even know what that is. I said, but I'll tell you what, Jared, I love comics and I'm going to come. I'm going to look at some Wolverine stuff. And when I went, I never had a chance to look around. Slammed from day one. So And, you know, I believed in the fandom before it was, and now everybody is doing conventions. It's you know, and you know this too, is promoting it. Everybody wants to get in. You know, got to look at the people who's been consistent. Got to look at promoters or shows that have a good track record, because the last thing I want to do is a show. Just, you know, I don't need the money. So the last thing I want to do is just go try to make a little money at a crappy little show. And the next thing you know, the promoter is not good to the fans. And then it represents you. Vice versa. The actors, we represent you. You represent us. We represent you. So you got to have a good track record on both sides. So when people leave, they're like, God, I love the promoter. I love El Paso. I love Jason David Frank. You need to go next year. And that's the idea mentality I've had for 7 years. The reason why it's been growing and growing, and my fan base is just so there, because it just, you know, we're so active. Just it's an amazing thing.
At what point did you realize that this was going to be something big with Power Rangers?
You know, day one, I focused on what we're doing that day. Everybody who focused in the future, like, well, you know, I need this, I need that, and I made more money, and everybody who focused on that wasn't around no more. The people that were around were the ones who focused on that day, because you have to put 110% energy in what you do that day, because if you don't, then you won't have a better tomorrow. So I didn't think, all right, 20 years from now, you know, 25, I'm going to be I hate to be black, but I'm gonna be 45 years old. You know, good thing I'm still in shape and I don't have gray hair, so that's a blessing. But at that time, I didn't think about that, you know? And so it just from day one, when I saw it before anyone else, I thought it's going to be huge, because colors, karate, soap opera, got the girls, you got Tommy with the girl at that time. It just, it changed and rocked the whole industry. Number one kid show in the world before Instagram, before we had these podcasts, before anything, we had to travel old fashioned way, not on horses, but we have to travel old fashioned way to do an interview. So that's one thing I'm happy and proud to say, that yeah, there's a lot of shows that are like number one, and you know, but they're also getting the push from Google and Instagram and Facebook. We didn't have any of that. We were old fashioned. And that's what makes a difference on our show to any other show around the world back then. No one can say that. Number one kid show in the world back then. And there's another thing. This show has never been off the air, ever. It's in 25 seasons. It's a network show. It's never turned syndicated. And if you're listening to the difference between network and syndicated, network is one time around the world. Syndication is, okay, channel 55 at this time. Okay, you know, at this time it's channel 28, so it gets lost. And VR Troopers that they tried spinning off was syndicated. It's the reason why I got lost in the shuffle as well. So people don't realize that. Oh, when I did Dino Thunder, I couldn't get one interview. Not one. The network, Disney, couldn't get me one. I got one in New York. And that was it. And people are like, oh, you're still doing Power Rangers? That show's still around? And it's like, yep. And then back then, nobody cared. And now it's a different story, because you have to do what you believe in, regardless of the financial situation. Passion, purpose, later on can come profit. Other than that, you're not going to survive.
Those are wise words. At what point did they stop calling you Jason and start going by JDF?
Oh, God. I tell you, man, that was, you know, people started to initial things, you know, and it was one of those things where way back in the day, an instructor, LaValle, he used to call me JDF, you know, and just, you know, do all these different things and initial everything. And so he started first initialing me. And I think, I don't know, it just got into the point where people are like, JDF, you know, and it was just different. Three initials. And I told Chuck Norris the other day when I was working with him, I said, Chuck Norris, because Chuck's like, you be the next me. I said, Chuck, no one can be the next you, because your name cannot be initialed. Your name cannot be initialed. No one says CN. They'll say Jean-Claude Van Damme, JV, whatever it is, and this and that, initial everybody. You'll never see CN. You see Chuck Norris. So the initials people just took on, and people started calling me Tommy, and then the Green Ranger, then it turned to Jason Frank, and then JDF, and, you know, people see you now, they don't say your character name no more, like, some people might, Tommy the Green Ranger, but they usually, oh, that's JDF, man, yeah, he was the Green Ranger, White Ranger, or whatever color you like now, it's different, our seasons, I posted something on Turbo and got so many likes on that, because as you get older, the seasons start to change.
The fans, I mean, they loved you so much. When you started working with Bat in the Sun, which the audience gets to vote on the winners of these superhero battles, I believe your character won both of the ones you were in with Bat in the Sun.
Yeah, it was that was a good old voting process. Yeah, so people voted on it, and it was it was great because it won, and I won. So I was saying the difference with certain fans is that you have to deposit in their emotional bank account. That's the biggest thing that people don't do. Is people look at it and as a bank account, but I look at it as an opportunity to deposit in their emotional bank account because that's something that favor, like Bat in the Sun, or something that you need, they'll be like, oh yeah, sure, let me vote on that. That's because when you meet someone, it's you're depositing their emotional bank account. At least I do that.
Like I said, everybody knows you mostly as the Green Power Ranger. I think you did a really good job on the Valiant Ninja versus the Universe, also where you played Bloodshot in the web series.
Yeah.
How did you get approached to do that?
Well, Aaron's, a good friend of mine. Aaron's always believed in me. He's the one that did the Super Beatdowns and wanted to do Green Ranger series and all this other stuff. And he came to me and said, hey, I used to collect comics. And he said, there's a character named Bloodshot. And I was like, okay, I don't really know who it is. So I've never heard of Guy. So I was like, yeah, you don't have to do me favors, man. If I don't fit the role, it's okay. And next thing you know, I looked, Googled it, and was like, hey, that's a good role for me. And the next thing was history. And then, Vin Diesel, did the film that was like about a, $100 million film. And ever since then, it was, I'll be the first Bloodshot, which I'm happy. And I'm actually looking forward to doing the movie. At first, I was like, oh, I wanted to be a part of it. I was kind of promised I would, but it's Hollywood. Nothing's promised. So it was fun, and the series got a lot of views. And then at one point, Sony wanted to dump the series just because they wanted to save it for Vin Diesel. In fact, Sony put I don't tell people I can't now because the movie's over. But people at New York, I had a big this is the first I'm talking about. I had a big appearance at Valley, and I was supposed to show up. We had New York comic books, which I have a ton, exclusive. I was doing a signing, free signing, like I always did for Bloodshot. Thousands of people showed up, and I had a Q&A. I was ready to go to New York. I blocked the whole day off. And then I was ready to go, sign and stuff. And even though the CEO of Valiant approved that, Sony came in and said, we put a cease and desist letter on me, a legal cease and desist that I cannot promote Bloodshot at all. I cannot go to the booth. I had to leave tons of fans hanging, and it was never explained to the fans why I didn't show up. People were like, oh, what happened? You're too busy for us. And I felt like saying they were going to sue for $1 million if I showed up to promote Bloodshot, which is silly to me. I promoted it so hard, and it was just super, super crazy that that happened. So that's the reason why. They said that I had something, I was busy and I had something to do. And I said, guys, you say I'm busy and have something to do, but you guys are the ones to do that. You need to speak the truth. And I couldn't say anything because the movie was filming it.
I've noticed lately also you've been getting into a little bit of the wrestling lifestyle.
Yeah.
At the Laredo Wrestling Alliance, it looked like you're fully into the wrestling. Is that something you're going to be working on more here in the future?
Yeah, we just talked the other day about signing a contract for that. I got injured. I had a full tendon tear, which was an injury that I had. So that kind of delayed me a little bit to train. So now that that's healing, I didn't need surgery. It was a complete distant tear. Could barely walk, and the next day I had to go to Columbia. I did not leave the fans hanging. I didn't tell them what was going on, but I could barely walk. And did that, so the injury delayed me a little bit. But, I look forward to it. It's something, again, that I just want to do for fun. It's not about money. They ask me to come out. We'll pay you a certain amount. So guys, I'll just come out just because I want to. And that's kind of what happened. And I went out, and that whole thing took place. And next thing you know, probably be hitting the ring. The first match will be against Studtacular. I call him Turd-tacular because he knows wrestling. He can get away with that. But that'd be the first match with him.
Is there anything you have going on that you'd like to plug right now?
Well, I've been going to a little different side of me of who I am, which is I used to write like poetry and poems, which I had no clue I was writing for years, just putting my feelings on paper because, you know, sometimes you don't talk. And so I've been pulling a little bit more of the vulnerable side. And my first thing comes out February 20th on my JDF FFN YouTube. And it's the JDF Spoken Truth series. And it really, I've shared it a lot to a lot of people. Yeah. So anyway, I sent it to a few people and man, I tell you, it's just one of those things that gave me confidence to, and that was the first one. I thought after that, I talked to Sean Ashton, a friend of mine, and he looked at me, he said, I love it, man. You're great. It's raw. He goes, but you got to take advantage of it because this writing might go away. So I was like, oh my God, I don't think I could write anything better, but I already wrote like 10 or 20 things that's better than Mask. So I was pretty happy with that. The YouTube, JDF FFN, and my Instagram, just the JDF FFN Instagram. I'm very active on that and Facebook and all that stuff. So just very active on that. So if you're, you know, you want to kind of see what's going on and, you know, get a chance to kind of visit me on there, it's a very personable thing. And, you know, I always pay attention to people's emotions. And I hope that this, the spoken truth can change a lot of people to say, yeah, I want to start talking, you know, and that's the idea.
All right, I have one last question for you, and this is the hard one. This one is a hard-hitting journalism question. You might need to think a little bit about this one. And the question is, cake or pie?
That's a good one. No one's asked me that. Man, I probably have to go with, if I had a choice of cake or pie, I'd probably have to go with pie.
Pie. So there you have it. Do you have a favorite type of pie?
I do. I like cherry pie. No cherries in it. And apple pie. I had my mom used to cook cherry pie, and I just want the sauce. That's like with jam. I just like, I don't like the, you know, I like jelly. I don't like the jam with the fruit in it. For some reason, I'm getting older and I'm starting to enjoy it. But yeah, if you want to make me a pie, cherry pie, all juice, no cherries.
There you
have it. I've never answered that before.
JDF is a pie guy.
Yep.
All right. I want to go ahead and thank you again for doing this interview with us. I know that you're in the airport getting ready to leave. It sounds like they're calling you to the gate now.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Sorry about that.
No worries, man. Like I said, thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule. I know you're a really busy guy.
Yeah, well, thank you, man. I look forward to seeing everybody at the con up in, I just look forward to seeing everyone at every con, but El Paso, I'm excited about.
Seeing you.
Yeah, all right, buddy.
All right, Jason, thank you so much.
Thank you, my friend. No problem, buddy.
Get nerdy with me. Tell me what game that you get on. Is it COD or Reed? What kind of class do you play, girl? In an RPG.